the second chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May God add his blessings to this, the reading and the preaching of his word. It was Christmas Eve and of all places, Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that is. The innkeeper at the local Holiday Inn had endured, as you would expect, a most hectic day with guests flooding into town for the holidays. It was late now, and the innkeeper was at his desk all by his lonesome. He had sent the rest of the staff home to be with their families for Christmas Eve, and so the lobby was now reasonably quiet. Quite enough that he was able to catch up on some of the day's paperwork. Suddenly, the innkeeper heard a noise, and when he looked up, he could not believe his eyes, for walking in the front doorway of the Holiday Inn in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on this Christmas Eve, was a young man dressed in a tattered bathrobe, pulling a donkey on which was a young woman who sure looked to the innkeeper as if she was about to give birth any second. And would you believe it? The young man said, "My name is Joseph, and this is my wife Mary, and we're here looking for a room for the night." Now, as you would understand, the innkeeper had his suspicions. And as he questioned them more, as he probed more deeply into their story, it turned out that the man's name was not Joseph and his wife's name was not Mary. And to top it all off, she wasn't even pregnant. The whole thing was something the couple had concocted as a kind of political demonstration against the commercialization of Christmas. And since there had been a no vacancy sign up on the Holiday Inn for several hours, the couple showed up expecting to be turned away. They were certain that they would be told, in effect, that there was no room at the Holiday Inn for them. And so their plan was to post the whole thing on social media for all the world to see. But what they were not counting on was the innkeeper's response. For knowing the Christmas story and having something of the Christmas spirit in him, the innkeeper rushed out from behind the desk and welcomed them graciously. "Mary, Joseph, how great it is to have you here under our roof tonight. What an honor. What a privilege." "Yes, certainly all of our regular rooms are taken, but it would please us to no end for you to occupy the bridal suite. And of course, since it's Christmas Eve, there won't be any charge. You'll be our guest of honor." I think that's what you'd call rising to the occasion, don't you? I would think that innkeepers like he have a hard time turning people away any time of the year, but especially on Christmas Eve, which is no doubt how that innkeeper must have also felt when the real Joseph and Mary showed up on his front door in Bethlehem, Judea, thousands of years ago. The truth of the matter is that we've given that innkeeper a pretty hard time over the years. But think about it for a moment. Was it really his fault that his house wasn't built with just one additional room? And was it his fault that Caesar Augustus had issued this decree that all the world should be taxed, a decree that forced this young couple, Joseph and Mary, to make their way down to Bethlehem from way, way up in Nazareth? And was it his fault that the roads between Nazareth and Bethlehem were tough roads, and that the young couple, because of her pregnancy, couldn't have arrived any sooner than they did? Was it really his fault, the innkeeper? I think you get the picture. We beat up on that innkeeper pretty good when the whole point of this seemingly unfortunate chain of events is that the God we worship and serve is a God who is completely capable of taking what on the surface appears to be something not so good, taking that something that seems not so good and transforming it into something that is truly glorious. It was God. It was God who took the innkeeper's decision to turn away Joseph and Mary so that his only begotten son could be born in a manger in that part of somebody's house that had been turned into a place for livestock, so that the birth of our Savior might become one of the most important and one of the most poignant and one of the most beautiful symbols in all the world. And so I say on this Christmas Eve that instead of piling on the innkeeper in Bethlehem, Judea, maybe it's better for us to imitate the spirit of the one in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Maybe it's good for us on this Christmas Eve to consider ways in which we might make room in our hearts for Jesus even now. What might your life look like if you were to get rid of all of the pride and self-righteousness, all of the bitterness and the greed, all of the baggage of past failures? What might your life look like if you were to clear away all of that clutter from your heart so that in your heart you might have room for Jesus? I think we might call that sort of action rising to the occasion, much as God did that holy night in Bethlehem, when God came to be with us in the most lowly of ways. And as God also rose to the occasion some 30 years after the night of His only begotten Son's birth, when Jesus went to the cross to make the forgiveness of our sins possible. So on this holy night, do you have space in your heart for Jesus? The boy's name was Wally. And Wally had landed a a big part in the church's annual Christmas play. Wally was going to play the innkeeper, and he was so excited because, backstory, Wally had been diagnosed a slow learner, and it wasn't a given that there would be any role in the Christmas play for Wally to perform. But the teachers got together, and they figured out the innkeeper, it is the perfect role for Wally. There's only one line. There is no room in the inn. And how could even Wally botch one little line? Well, the big night came, and Wally had his line down pat. There is no room in the inn. There is no room in the inn. Every seat in the church was filled. The children came onto the platform singing, O come, all ye faithful. Joseph and Mary entered and walked up to the inn. Please, sir, Joseph said to the innkeeper, my wife is not well. Could we please have a room just for the night? And this was Wally's big moment. And so he began. There is no, and then he froze. His mind went blank. Everybody was embarrassed. Children started shuffling, waiting for Wally to remember his line. Wally didn't know what to do. The teacher, sensing that everything was about to come off the rails, quickly improvised and motioned for Joseph and Mary to leave the platform. And as they were walking away in desperation, Wally cried out, wait, wait, there's plenty of room in my house. Why don't y'all just come home with me? So did Wally ruin the play? I think not. If anything, Wally points us to the invitation that each of us must extend to Jesus on this most holy of nights. Why don't you just come home with me? For when we make that kind of room for Jesus, not only is Jesus' cause better, so is ours. So is ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.